The True Vine Charismatic Church International presents our weekly audio podcast with Reverend Tete Jangma. Let this message fill you with the word of God.
I started looking at the book of Nehemiah, and we started with looking at rebuilding the broken walls. This week, we are looking at the topic, Nehemiah's victorious steps, or Nehemiah's actions that he took that led to success. So Nehemiah's victorious steps. The Bible says in Nehemiah chapter 1 that Nehemiah was in Shushan in the palace of the king in the month of Kislew. And some brethren, including one of his brothers, were sent to him with a message. And after he had listened to them, he realized that the walls of Jerusalem had been broken down and the gates thereof had been burnt with fire. The Bible says the thing affected Nehemiah so much that first of all, he sat down and began to reflect. And secondly, he fasted. Thirdly, he prayed. And fourthly, he sought the face of God concerning what was to be done. So, on the whole, Nehemiah prayed for a period of 4 months. A period of 4 months, fasting and praying day and night and seeking the face of God regarding how the broken walls were to be restored. A lot of us undertake ventures without seriously praying about it. There's a difference between dining table prayers, and there's a difference between a high speed quick prayer, and a difference between waiting on the Lord and seeking His face. You cannot enter into marriage by doing just high-speed prayer and dining table prayers. You cannot start a business casually and say, "Oh, Pastor, I've been praying you." Nehemiah was serious about the business because the extent of damage and devastation was very pronounced. And therefore, he knew that in the affairs of men, it was practically impossible to rebuild this without the support of the Most High. So never start a venture taking things for granted. You want to start something in January, by August, you should be seeking the face of God seriously, consistently. Can I hear an amen? And so Nehemiah sought the face of God for 4 months. And then he appeared before the king. And eventually, the Bible says the good hand of the Lord came upon him. He had favor. And he went to seek permission so that he would be allowed to go and help his people who were far away in the land of his birth, which was devastated. So the king granted Nehemiah permission to go and help his people. Nehemiah further sought for protection, security. So he was giving some of the army who were riding chariots to go along with him so he won't have any problems. Thirdly, Nehemiah requested for timber and logs, which will help him to go and start the whole project, because if you're talking about finances, rebuilding the broken walls of Jerusalem was going to be a major task. And I want to emphasize the prayer, the place of prayer. Can I hear an amen? Throughout the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah prayed 14 times from chapter 1 to the end. At every successive stage of the reconstruction, he prayed. So he started praying before he embarked on the journey to Jerusalem from Shushan. And when he got there and the project started, and there were all kinds of attacks, Nehemiah kept praying consistently. At every stage, instead of getting depressed, there were times that they got discouraged, but Nehemiah would pick a word of the Lord and tell them, can I have an amen, somebody? Oh, I didn't hear an amen. I am here like Nehemiah to encourage you this morning, to tell you that even though the extent of devastation of the walls has been far-reaching, yet when God rebuilds it, you will see the beauty, you will see the glory. Can I hear an amen? Now, Nehemiah was told that the people in Jerusalem were in distress. The economy was not good. The circumstances were not good. Physical structures had been broken down, including the temple. So the people of Israel were in distress. Secondly, it was said that they were in a state of reproach. They were in a state of disgrace. It was an embarrassment, because God's people were known for their excellence, and they were known to receive total support from God that helped them to advance. Can I hear an amen from somebody? So Nehemiah had to go and intervene, although he wasn't living there, and he was living in the king's palace, and things were fine with him somehow, yet he started fasting. Even as the king's cup bearer, he shouldn't have done that, because he should have been tasting the drinks of the king before it was served to him. But the man got a burden and started fasting and praying to God. May God give you a burden for your nation. May God give you a burden for your community. May God give you a burden for your family. May God give you a burden for yourself. And may God give you a burden for your church. Put your hands together, clap. When the burden comes, it will drive you to prayer. When it is a burden of the devil, it's likely to depress you. But when it is a burden of God, you are likely to be driven into prayer. And keep praying until the answer drops. Can I hear an amen? Oh, can I hear a solid amen from you? Now, the walls of Jerusalem had been broken down. And we said walls represent three things. Number one, walls help us know the demarcation and the extent of the land. Number two, walls are for aesthetic purposes. They are for beauty. They are for glory. And there are some walls, when you see with the lights on top, with amazing gates and all that, you stand and say, wow, this is a beautiful wall. There is a third reason for walls, and it has to do with security and protection, so that people will not have easy access into the land and do what they want. And so these walls were built in ancient times by various nations, so they would not become vulnerable to foreign attack. And once the walls were broken down, Israel was very vulnerable. And any group of persons could come in unannounced and come and attack them and come and, humiliate them and come and beat them up and come and deal with them in ways that were not honorable. And Nehemiah said that I got a bedding to go and rebuild the broken walls. I said there are walls on our psychological part. And sometimes when these walls collapse, we say that the person has a mental health issue. Today I pray that whatever has been attacking your psychological part, God will stand in for you. That the shield of faith will be lifted against any fiery dart of the devil. That the enemy will not get advantage of you and make you worry till you become depressed and fearful and anxious till you are, you know, taken into a mental institution. God forbid. Say a big amen. I want you to shout amen. No matter what problems you face, God is greater than the problem. No matter what losses you experience, the power of God to restore is greater than the loss that you experience. And if you will focus on the word of God, and if you will focus on the Most High God, then your restoration will be accelerated. The walls of Jerusalem were built in 4 years. I'm not talking about the temple. The temple was inside, but I'm talking about the walls. The walls of Jerusalem were built in 4 years. And when Nehemiah went in to reconstruct it, he did it in 52 days. Oh, come on. I can see somebody completing his house in 52 days. I can see somebody completing a church building in 52 days. Because God, the good hand of the Lord will come upon you. Today, I want you to receive that good hand. Every evil hand is taken away from you. The hands that bring sorrow, the hands that bring pain, the hands that bring distress, we take them away. The hands that limit you into a corner, today you are taking away from under that hand. May God's hand of power, may God's hand of protection, and may God's hand of elevation come upon you. I say the good hand of God is upon your life. If you believe that, you will shout a big shout and say a big amen. Your project is about to be finished on record time. God is about to help you that you got halfway and you didn't finish. God is about to accelerate the pace. It was simply because Nehemiah took 4 months of serious prayer. By the time he stepped out, favor was there. Wisdom and understanding was there. He was highly motivated and knew that this work could be done. I said you will finish your house in a record time. You will build a second one in a record time. Shout amen, somebody. Brother, you are not shouting amen. You don't want a house. Oh, then your amen is too weak. I said, shout amen, somebody. It can be done. It can be done. A government can achieve a lot in one term. 4 years of building the wall is equal to one political term. Political administration. One term in office. But Nehemiah used 52 days. When God is behind you, things happen quickly. Things happen quickly. It may look like you are late, but you are not late. It may look like things have delayed, but things have not delayed. There is a restorative grace. There's a restorative hand of God. He will back you from beginning to the end. Do you know it was Zerubbabel who built the temple? And it was Nehemiah who built the wall. And Zerubbabel was told that the hands that have laid the foundation shall lay the headstone. There will be no uncompleted project in your life. True vine will be so blessed that divine acceleration shall be a portion. Oh, the amen is not commensurate with the declaration. You are not finished yet. God is not done with you yet. It is not over yet. We will not throw in the towel. we will believe unto the end. The Bible said we are not like them that give up unto perdition or destruction, but we are of the caliber of people that believe from beginning to the end. Discouragement may come, but we will say the Lord, he will help us. Oh, let us arise and build. Let we, his people, arise and build, because we shall complete it. Your business shall flourish. Oh, I say your business shall flourish once more. Your ministry shall flourish. Major doors will be open to you. Major contracts, major monies, major opportunities will come to you. In 52 days, Nehemiah built the wall and fixed the gates, what it took his predecessors 4 years to build. Those of you who don't like prayer, it's sorrowful. Do you know the walls were built, but they were broken down? The fact that you have prosperity today does not mean that you must stop praying, because the walls can be pulled down. The walls of your marriage can be pulled down, but God help you and keep your marriage. Can you put your hands together? Believers get a little breakthrough and they stop praying. Believers get a little job that give them benefits and they stop praying. But the enemy can stand ahead and wait for you and seek that you will come and meet him. And when your prayer level is not much, then he will counteract you. The Bible says, in the day of adversity, if your strength fails, then how small was the strength? Your strength must be much more than any period you are in. Oh, shout amen. Your strength, I say, must be much more than any period you are in. Otherwise, events will overtake you and bring you down. Can I confess that you will not be overtaken by events? God will uphold you and sustain you because of the grace of his and the prayer power that you have. Say amen, somebody. So that was for introduction. Let's move into the steps that Nehemiah took. Number one, Nehemiah went in to assess the extent of damage in Jerusalem. So he went in to assess the extent of damage in Jerusalem. Nehemiah chapter 2 verse 12. At night, Nehemiah and a few of the Jews, he selected them, went round the city on horses to see the extent of desolation and to make an assessment of the extent of destruction of the city. Why did he choose the night? He chose the night because he didn't want to draw attention to himself. Are you hearing me? There are some of you, before you start a project, you don't go and make any assessment of the situation. You don't go around and scan your environment. You don't go around and see what to be done so that you don't get stuck like the other people who are already in it. But you're going to pick ideas about where to get your goods and to get your raw materials and to get your resources, where to position it, what time to run it, and the nature of goods that you'll be dealing in, so that you meet a need of the community and the community will be pleased to run to your shop. Make an assessment of what you are about to enter into. Find out what it entails. Find out what it involves. Don't just, enter a relationship head over heels. Nehemiah went around in the night very quietly. For some of us, we lack wisdom. Before we start a thing, we are talking, and we put our faces on social media. somebody would like to shoot down your project. You are drawing too much attention to yourself even before you put any things together. So I suggest to you, there is a period of data gathering. And in the period of data gathering, you are going to find out what is not making others progress. What is leading to stagnation? What is it that fights businesses and ministries in a place? And after you have scanned the environment, you decide on what to do so that you will have edge over your competitors. So Nehemiah took just a few people and he went around the broken walls to assess the extent of damage. Then he will count his cost and he will know what it involved. And Nehemiah did that. So the first thing that he did was that he went around the city to assess the extent of damage. Can I hear an amen? Number two were the organizational abilities of Nehemiah. Number two, the organizational abilities of Nehemiah. Nehemiah organized the priests. He organized the Levites, organized the goldsmiths, organized the merchants, organized the perfume manufacturers, organized the nobles, and he organized the servants. Somebody say amen. So Nehemiah got them according to the skills he understood that they had. While some were serving at the north gate, others were at the east gate, others were at the south gate, and some were building the walls in addition. So when you look at chapter 3 of the book of Nehemiah tells you about the organizational ability of Nehemiah. The Bible says, then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brethren and the priest, and they builded the sheep gate, and they sanctified it, and set up the doors of it, even unto the tower of Mia, they sanctified it. The next unto him builded the men of Jericho. The next to them builded Zaccur, the son of Imri. Then, when as you continue, you will find in verse 7 that there were gold. Verse 8, there were goldsmiths. Next unto him repaired, what is it? Uziel, the son of the son of Hehaya. Oh boy, this name, I need to practice it. Of the goldsmiths. So look at goldsmiths. The last word in verse 8 is apothecaries. Apothecaries are the manufacturers of fragrances, of perfumes. So all these people were involved in the reconstruction of the temple of Jerusalem. In verse 31 and 32, the merchants and the goldsmiths were involved. So all categories of people were involved, including the high priest, the Levites, the general priesthood, the goldsmith, the merchants, the perfume producers, the nobles, and the servants. In the kingdom of God, everybody has a gift. And everybody has a role to play. It is not acceptable for anybody to fold his or her hands and not participate in what God wants done. Turn to the next person. You have a role to play in the reconstruction. You have a role to play in the rebuilding of the walls. You have a role. In your family, you have a role. You cannot stand aloof. In the nation, you have a role. In church, you have a role, and you must be seen to place your hand on the spindle and not look back. Can I hear an amen? Oh, can I hear an amen, somebody? Number three was the vigilance of Nehemiah. He worked with vigilance. I told you Nehemiah prayed for 4 months before he started the project. Nehemiah chapter 4 from verse 7 tells you about the vigilance of Nehemiah while he undertook the construction of the broken walls of Jerusalem. We'll come later to read the details, but Nehemiah's vigilance was against the threats from the opposition. What is vigilance? Vigilance means watchfulness. It also means wakefulness, to keep awake, to be awake. Number three, vigilance means alertness. You are alert. You are not dozing. You are not in a slumber. Number four, vigilance means to be careful and observant. You're observant. You are careful. You are not careless. You are careful. Can I hear an amen? Number five, vigilance means being on the lookout for possible danger. Remember, Jesus said, watch and pray. In other words, pray, but be vigilant. Open your eyes. Tell the next person, open your eyes. Shine your eyes. Tell the next person. Don't close your eyes. Keep your eyes wide. Be vigilant. Even when you fall in love, open your eyes and shine your eyes and observe what God wants you to observe. The enemies wanted to trap Nehemiah. So 3 times they came with stories. The first one, they invited Nehemiah to a place called the Plain of Ono. The Plain of Ono. And they said, Nehemiah, the Plain of Ono was like an hour's drive from Jerusalem. And they wanted Nehemiah to come over there so that he will meet them in the Plain of Ono. Nehemiah sought the face of God and he told them, I will not come. That is Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. He did not go. They sent 3 more times that Nehemiah will meet them in the Plain of Ono. What did they want? They wanted to kill him. They just wanted to kill him. There are some places you must not go. Tell the next person. It is not every place that you are invited that you must go. Some of it may be for ritual murder. So Nehemiah declined. The 5th time, you know what story they brought to Nehemiah? They said, Nehemiah, so this was the 2nd occasion to have him. They said, Nehemiah, so that's Nehemiah 6:6. They brought rumors and false accusations against Nehemiah that Nehemiah wanted to make himself the king of Jerusalem, make himself the king of Judah, make himself the king of the Jews. This Nehemiah stood, looked into their faces, and boldly denied the accusation, because what they were saying was tantamount to rebellion. If Nehemiah wanted to make himself a king in Judah, and there was the king of Babylon, Artaxerxes, who had control over the whole domain, then it simply meant that Nehemiah was being rebellious. And if the king had heard this, Nehemiah would have been in trouble. I declare that let the accusations that are brought against you never stand. May God lift up the power of the blood to declare your innocence and to declare you not guilty. Even where you are guilty, may God acquit and discharge you. Let me hear a solid amen. The third thing they did, still in chapter 6, was that they went to find a man called Shemaiah. They went to find a man called Shemaiah. And this man was said to be the son of somebody, Delidi or something like that. And so they invited Nehemiah to meet with this man behind closed doors in the temple. The people were bent on not just frustrating him, but were bent on eliminating him so that Israel will never be restored. There are some people who are not happy when God is restoring you. Can I hear an amen? They are afraid that when God restores you, they will be in trouble. So they will do all kinds of things to frustrate you and to limit you. Amen. But God will make you determined. Say amen to God's glory. So Shemaiah acted as if he was a prophet and acted as if he hears the voice of God. And invited, sent a word to Nehemiah to meet him nowhere but in the temple. You see how they are doing it. And Lemukoye, central region, is Soliowa Kaya. That is Soliowa thing. I wish I heard that he stands and preaches the truth. Can I hear an amen? And after the truth, the grace of God works over him. You know what they wanted to do? It was only the priests that were allowed to enter a certain section of the temple. And this man was inviting Nehemiah to take him into that place, which meant he would have dishonored God. And God would have been angry with him. And the same people would come from behind and say, "Ah, Nehemiah, you see how far you have come. Today we have caught you red-handed. We will deal with you." And they would have been right in killing Nehemiah. But Nehemiah said, "I will not come there. I will not meet you in the temple. I will not meet you behind closed doors. If you want to meet me, come into the open. Let's meet." Come on, put your hands together. So three occasions. One, they invited him to the valley of Ono. And I like the way one preacher says it. The preacher said, they invited Nehemiah to Ono, and he told them, "Oh no, I'm not coming. Tell the devil, oh no, I am not coming." Then they brought a second accusation that he intended to make himself a new king. As his rebellion in Judah, Nehemiah said, "It is not true." Then they went to find this false prophet, and they wanted him to meet him in the temple, and Nehemiah would not meet him in the temple because he knew what it involved. Now let's get to the field of work. In the course of the field of work, Nehemiah's vigilance was seen. One part, Nehemiah chapter 4 verse 9. The Bible says, "Nevertheless," Nehemiah 4, 9. "Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God." So Nehemiah was constantly praying. "And set a watch against them day and night because of them." Ask the next person, do you sleep throughout the night? Ask the next person. As soon as you lay down, you will snore to a high decibel. At least snore, but wake up. Do you just sleep? Daytime, do you waste the day? Night, you just sleep throughout the night? And when you are in church, you are even sleeping. Oh, come on. You see, when you are vigilant, you are alert, and you don't allow that wind of sleep to blow over your eyes in the house of God. Tell the next person, wake up, wake up, wake up. You are not alert. So Nehemiah said, we kept watch. We were alert day and night. If they attack in the day, we were ready for them. If they attack in the night, we were ready for them. Verse 13 of chapter 4. Therefore, I sat in the lower places behind the wall. You know, a wall is high. So on the ground, Nehemiah sets people to watch. Then on the higher places, on top of the wall, Nehemiah set people to watch. I even set people after their families with their swords and their spears and their bows. In other words, I organized people in their families. They had their swords, they had their spears, and they had their bows. Families were alert. They were not sleeping. Some of us will sleep. I'm speaking figuratively now. We won't pray adequately. We will sleep until something happens, or we get a bad dream. Then we come as if there's a magic wand that will help us. Listen to me. The walls were broken down. Nobody went to lay hands on Israel and said, I'm doing deliverance for you. There was a process Nehemiah took. First, when he heard the news, he sat down. Then he started praying. He wept. He started praying. He fasted. And afterwards, he went to see the king. What I'm telling you is that there is no substitute for prayer. Neither is there any substitute for the word of God. You must have both the word of God and prayer in your life if you want to see victory over the attacks in your family. Shout amen. It's easy in that time for somebody to say, brah, asemoho. Me who say, wo na wo fie ni nyina bubu da form unya deliverance for akuko fita bra. Is that what you are saying in the Bible? The walls were broken down. The economy was shattered in the days of Nehemiah. The temple was broken down, so there was no worship. But there was a place to start. It was the place to contact God. It was the place to get spiritual energy. It was the place to acquire wisdom from God. It was a place to get courage and boldness to face the king and ask for certain favors after he realized the good hand of the Lord was upon him. I declare that over the church and over the people that are listening to us, that the good hand from today of Jehovah will ever rest upon you, your household, and your children. Shout amen and clap your hands together. So even families were ready with swords, spears, and bows. Look at verse 15 of chapter 4, book of Nehemiah. And it came to pass that when the enemies heard, it was known to us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we return all of us to the wall. There was a period when they stopped the construction for a short while, because the people, the enemies, had purposed that there was a rubbish heap somewhere, and the enemies decided that they would hide behind the rubbish. So when the Jews were coming, they would come out and attack them and slay them. And this information was brought to the knowledge of Nehemiah. So Nehemiah said, hold on. Then word went to the enemies that Nehemiah had gotten to know about their wicked plot. And when they knew that it had been disclosed to Nehemiah, they went away and couldn't carry out their thing. Listen to me. One thing about the revelation of God, it shows what the devil wants to do. And once God opened your eyes and you see what the devil is about to do, he has been weakened and he has virtually been defeated. Then Nehemiah went ahead to say that God brought their counsel to naught. May the counsel of the evil ones be brought to zero. They will gather and conspire against you, and they will feel like they are rising to deal with you, but may God bring them down. And I didn't hear an amen. Say an amen. May they fall down flat, like Kevin Boy said. I say your enemies, their plots will come to zero. Their intentions will come to zero. Their efforts to frustrate you will never work. And the counsel they take will come to naught. Not, you are not shouting. It will come to zero. Zero. Zero over 100 is what? Zero. Zero over 1 million people gathering is what? Zero. And I say, may their efforts come to what? Zero. God brought their counsel to naught. Look at verse 16, still in the same chapter 4. And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work. That means one half of the servants were working, building the gates or the walls. And the other half held both spears, the shields, the bows, the habergeons. The habergeon is like a breastplate. They call it a coat of mail. And the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. So one group were working, another group had their spears and their shields. Oh, come on, isn't that beautiful? While one group were praising God, the prayer warriors were praying. Oh, say amen to the word of God. Verse 17. And they which builded the walls, and they that bore the beddings, and those that laid it, they carried goods and beddings, everyone with his hands wrought in the work, and the other held a weapon. Now, the first scenario is that one group, the masons, the carpenters, were working. Then there were the warriors who stood with their sword and the spear and the bow. Then the second category we just read about was that while they had the implement of construction in their hand, whether it was a hammer, whether it was, what are some of the tools? Well, the hand trowel, thank you, hand trowel. Or whether it was a shovel or screwdriver, whatever it was, they held it in one hand. Then in the other hand, they held a tool of weapon. In this battle, you must combine prayer with the word of God, with work. Pastor, Pastor, Shame in your twin jolly becra. Eh, me no hear your ninja. Me no hear your becco. They were building with one hand and they were alert and vigilant with the other hand. If it was this time, maybe the person would be wearing a gun on the waist. So that if you show up, he will fire at you. May God help you fire at the enemy. Pastor, beaten a niche money in Nabi cra, eh, Buekanabi, Ubanabi, Biani. In ye masole, Buekasoli, Ubasoli, Biani. Just making a little time to join the brethren wherever for prayer? No. You walk into Sunday service very late when prayers have been completed. Is it not an advantage to join the prayers at the beginning of the service so that you add to the stock of divine grace on your life? Is it not wise? Is it not wise to join the prayer online to add to the stock of the grace upon you? Is it not wise to access that corporate prayer? Is it not wise to find time to make it in a midweek meeting or in the Woods ministry? Is it not wise to join the home cell to get something done? You'll be busy. When the devil gets busy on you, you'll find that the other believers are busy. They won't have time for you. I'm prophesying to you. And you have to handle that battle by yourself. But God will show mercy. I say God will show grace. We need to be alert. We need to be vigilant. Amen. So Nehemiah found ways of dealing. Look at verse 18. Look at verse 18 of the same chapter 4. For the builders, everyone had his sword girded by his side. So the sword was in their side. The word of God must be in your belly. And so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was standing by me. Nehemiah said there was an alarm blower. And he was standing by me. May God raise people who can pick revelations in the spirit that they will sound the trumpet, that the church needs to pray so that a child is not taken away by the devil. Somebody must be the trumpet blower. Can I hear an amen? Somebody must be the trumpet blower that many ladies might be deceived in this period into wrong marriages by the devil. But may they be alert, may they pray more, may they be discerning more so they don't enter into wrong relationships. Because some of the gentlemen can be very controlling, but they will come with some niceties that your father couldn't do for you. They will come showering gifts on you, take you to places you haven't been. But listen to me. When you get a good relationship, it will be a blessing to you. And those things will just be offshoots and blessings that will come to you. Say amen. So Sunday after Sunday, I may be the trumpet blower. And I may be telling you, watch here, watch there. Let's pray this week. Let's raise the banner of Christ higher this week. And you may take it for granted because somebody has been anointed to blow the trumpet. I didn't hear an amen from some. If you have a boy and you see that he's getting too close to a foreigner, because of homosexuality tendencies, blow the alarm and draw your child. It starts with little gifts. Then it starts with homosexual tendencies. Then they tell us today it's an alternative lifestyle. Is armed robbery not an alternative lifestyle? Is it not? I'm frustrated in the system, the economy. I didn't get much education, so I don't trust I'll be able to have an upward rise, competing with the top bankers and competing with those in corporate organization. But the one I can do is to get a locally manufactured piece of weapon and break into homes and get their wealth, especially if they are keeping $1 million in the house. Is it not an alternative lifestyle of the economy? When the walls of morality in the world are broken down, Jesus' children can go and wriggle their waist and their buttocks before a video camera, unashamedly in their uniform, that it must be published. Know that the walls have fallen down. God gave you a beautiful body, not to wriggle your waist and turn your buttocks to face the general populace. If you have any word, let it come from your wisdom and talk to people. Oh, can I hear an amen? Madam, the younger girls will be smarter than you. And as you grow older, you'll be out of job. Because the younger girls will have it when you are losing yours. Oh, you don't like the word I'm preaching. If all you have is your waist and your breast, then you have nothing. Some walls must be built again. Or if you agree with me, can you clap? Can you shout amen? Oh, can you put your hands together? Can you put your hands together? Oh, can you put your hands together? Thank you. I'm bringing my message to a close. The enemies were simply against the fostering of the welfare of the people in Jerusalem. The enemies were against it. There are some spiritual enemies that are against your prosperity, but I prophesy they shall fall. There are some enemies that are against your elevation. I prophesy they shall be brought to naught. There are some enemies that are fighting your glory. I declare shame shall clothe them, and the glory of God shall be your portion. There are some enemies that do not want you to break out in the power, in the glory, and in the excellence of God. But I assure you, as a servant of God, by the word of God, you will best out in style. You will best out in excellence. You will best out in glory. You will best out in wealth. And you will best out with a lot of blessings. If that is the witness you have in your spirit, can I have you clap and shout? Shout, 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 shout in the name of Jesus. It is the Sambalats, the Tobias, and the Shemaias who don't want you to have that project completed. So if you go and take poison to kill yourself, then you have honored their desire. But I want you to know, this is not the time to die. This is not the time to commit suicide. This is not the time to take your life, because you will overcome them. Nehemiah took some steps to overcome the devil. You will triumph at the end of the day. Your beginning may have been small, but your latter end shall greatly increase. The story to be written will favor you, and celebration shall be seen in your house. My mother had 6 boys. The support of daddy was terminated before I entered secondary school. So should mommy go and take poison? No. No, that is not the solution. The solution is standing, prevailing, praying, breaking through, bursting forth in the glory of God and showing your trophy. Yeah. We are not dying now. We will not even let any suicide ideations cross our mind. Oh, shout amen. If I took you to Nigeria now and asked in a place like Ikeja, Abeokuta, they don't know you. Then you say you have been disgraced to the whole world. They don't know you in Oshodi. They don't know you in Festac. They don't know you in Agege. They don't know you. Even Tamale here, they don't know you. Then you said they have disgraced. Who disgraced you? The devil is a liar. I said the devil is a liar. You just experienced a temporary setback. It's just like the traffic light turned red. Just be patient there. It will turn amber. Green light is about to happen. You will drive on. You will continue. Just fill your car with petrol. Fill your car with anointing. Stay in the presence of God. Be energized. Be quickened. There is hope for a tree. There is hope for a tree when it is cut down at the scent of water, that it may be washed and cleansed by the washing of the water. At the scent of the word of God, the spirit of God is like rivers of water that comes out of our belly. At the scent of the presence of God, there shall be restoration. You'll be restored. I see you getting restored. I see your environment changing for the better. I see the walls of your health are being built. The walls of your psychological health are being built. What you were denied in childhood, God will replace it. I will never stop saying this, because I'm getting there. My final point, keep standing, don't sit down. Sir, you can sit down. My final point is that when they were looking through the things, they found the word. Nehemiah found the word. And one part of the word said their forebears celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles had to do with gratitude to God. They left Egypt. They were nomads, traveling by foot in the wilderness for 40 years. So they had no temporary, they had no permanent place of residence. Where they lived was temporary, and they moved like tenants. But finally, when God brought them to the land that He had ordained for them, they had goodly houses and goodly things inside the houses. So God told them that once a year, leave the comfort of your home, prepare boots like tembelo, you know, that hut that is built with the, you know, leaves of the palm tree, and stayed there for some time to reflect on when you were in the wilderness and you had no permanent place of dwelling. In that period, give me gratitude. Remember where you were. Remember you were slaves. Remember they gave you hard tasks that you couldn't complete. Remember they gave you small food. Remember you had no salary, no income, no social security. Remember that you had no hope, you had no future until I anointed Moses to come to serve as your deliverer. Remember you had lived 430 years there already, but I had prophesied to your forefather Abraham that I will take you into a foreign land and I'll bring you back to possess this land. Remember, I, God, I have brought you back based on my word and you have possessed the land. You have vineyards, you have grapes, you have olive plants, you have all kinds of things. And now is the time to give me praise. Now is the time to give me worship. Now is the time to give me glory. Now is the time to express your gratitude. Oh, can you start showing that? Start showing your appreciation to God. I said, start showing it. I said, show it better. Oh, say, Lord, I thank you. I didn't know the way of salvation, but once I heard your word, somebody who came to me to preach to me, somebody invited me to the crusade, and somebody else brought me to church. And since then, I have seen the light. My sins have been forgiven. I've been washed and cleansed anew. I have the Spirit of God in me. If that same Spirit that was in Christ dwell in my mortal body, oh, then he will quicken me. I want you to know you must be grateful. This is a period. This is a period you must be grateful. This is a period you must be thankful. The economy may be hard, but God has already delivered you. The circumstances may be adverse, but God has already shown mercy. There may be difficulties, but God has given you power to clear the hurdle. Oh, masundirimi kiataya. Oh, danun choleshi. Oh, give glory to God. You may not have a job, but God has clothed you well. You may not have a job yet, but God gives you food every time, every time, every time, every time. Oh, my own niribi saya. Ayelere makia son niribi kia. Ayebebe nunimi kia sasta tata. Yobabon niribi kia solerebe kia. Ayeme sunara bakaya. Minurimi kia kataya. Mindurimi akataya. Oh, things will be better than this. As you praise God, your health will improve. Your health will improve. You will experience supernatural healing. The power of God will work upon your life. Oh, show gratitude to God. God is about to open a fresh door. God is about to give you another chance, another opportunity. God is about to let there be a breakthrough. A breakthrough. Oh, masunde rebekia. Oh, mayosele rebekia. Oh, show gratitude to God. Mindorobosia. Shandarabasia. Ayele rebekia saya. Oh, your deliverance has come. Your salvation has come. God is rebuilding your life. He's rebuilding your life, taking you out of shame, taking you out of reproach and the satanic embarrassment. It's your season of the visitation of God, the anointing of God. The good hand of the Lord is upon your life. Yama bandiri bisia. Yama bandiri bisia. Ayele rebekia. Ayelebekia. Ilumutin Narabakia. Ilumutin Narabakia. Oh, the Lord will restore you. I see what the locust has eaten, what the cankerworm, what the caterpillar, what they have eaten. The Lord is restoring the years that they have eaten. God is restoring. He will restore you like Job, that you will have twice as much as you had from the beginning. He said, if a thief be caught, he will be made to restore sevenfold. Let the power of evil be driven